Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us how important it is to let our children see our faith, to impress our children about our faith. An impression is something you leave with them rather than stamp on them. Let your children see your faith. We're going to talk about that today.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we're going down a list of 30 imperatives to parenting. You can find them all so far online at parentingtoday.org. Today, covering number 25, we're getting close to the end of the list. You're talking about letting your kids see your faith. It's something that you leave with them, not something that you stamp them with. Explain that.
I think so often we're abrupt with our faith, and we take them to church. And
this is right. This is church, wrong.
Yeah. The church is something jerky that you do, and then you come out of church and you're different after you're out of church, but you're you know, think of the typical Sunday morning. And if you're going to church Sunday morning, it's absolutely astounding because Sunday morning, for some reason, even though you have to get them up earlier during the week to get them off to school, and you get a little later on Sunday, but there's something that doesn't work, and getting them all in the car is a nightmare, and getting them to church, and you're always a little bit late, and come on, get in the car. I can't believe you duffed your shoes. I can't believe you're wearing that shirt, and it's all on the way. But then we pull into the church, our parking lot, underneath the Aura of Righteousness, and we're smiling, and we're getting out of the car, and our kids are looking at us thinking, what just happened?
My
he must have taken
weird.
No, he's took a drug or something. Now he's in a good mood because he's running for deacon or whatever it is he's doing. I think our children need to see our faith, and one of the places to see our faith is not church.
Mm.
Church is something we stamp in this weird little thing. And my dad's in church, and you know his arms are up in the air during the praise time, and yet, do I see my dad in the real world? Do I see his faith there? Do I see his faith during difficulty, which is the greatest place to see somebody's faith, during the challenges in life? How's your faith working for you, Dad?
Mm.
Not that they'd say that, but that's the important thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, you know, and it first says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then the NIV, I love the way it says, impress this upon your children. And then it says, let them see basically your faith when you sit, when you stand, when you walk, when you get up, when you lie down. Let them see it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them see that it's not something you do as a religion. It's who you are, and it's who you're becoming. It says in Philippians, work out your salvation. And you need to work out your salvation so that the little eyes that are watching you see it in you. When Roby was 4 years old, he was sitting in my lap, straddling me in a chair in our family room, facing me, facing right at me. I mean, nose to nose. We were laughing, doing something. All of a sudden, he's rubbing his fingers down my nose and his nose and my nose and his nose. And I said, Rob, what are you doing? And he says, Daddy, you have grease on your nose, and I want to have grease on my nose, just like you. And you think, wow, do you see us? Do you look that closely? I've got to let my children see my faith in the way I function in life.
And I think even as adults, our faith has to be holistic. It's got to be part of every part of our life.
Absolutely.
Sometimes church is just a side thing. Okay, we'll do family devotions because this is a good thing to do, you know, taking my vitamins and all that. But really, when you go through the...
That was great, taking our spiritual vitamins. Our religion vitamins,
right. But then you go through hard times and then you're freaking out. Mom is crying and they're going nuts because daddy just got laid off and no one knows what's... And then what? Then the kids are they might not even think it at the moment, but later on, hold on a minute. We go to church and they say, trust God, that God always provides. Why is mom crying? And I know a lot of families have gone through this because look at the economic crisis we've gone through. So a lot of families have had to deal with this whole, is really God our provider? Let's see it happen and let's get through this.
I think there are cool moments. I think when you get the shocking, shocking, shocking news and I respond out of my flesh, I respond in the tears and I respond in the freaking out, let's say loss of a job. And then I bring it back and realize, whoa, wait a minute. And that's when I have to pull the family back together. Here's a dumb example of yours, what you're saying here. Yours was better. When I was the interim at a church here in town, they were doing a church directory, and I was the interim senior pastor, and they said, hey, we have a pastor's section. Would you show up for the picture? Because we don't have a pastor now. And I said, okay, I'll show up for the picture. And I brought my family, and it was Wednesday night before we're going into church, and we're there. And the photographer is about 18 or 19 years old, and you get your picture for the church directory free, but he's there to sell a package also for the photography company. And so he's going through this spiel, and I say to this boy, I say, hey, we're not here to buy the package. We're just here to take the picture for the directory. And he's been taught not to break the whole pitch. And so he moves on and I say, I hear you. That's awesome, man. We're just here for the, so why don't we just take the picture? And he still doesn't stop and he moves on. And I said, and then all of a sudden I stop and say, son, just take the picture right now. So we're there. It's a little hard now for the Barnes family to smile. It's a little hard for the 19-year-old to smile. His hand's shaking while he's getting ready to take the picture because I got a little abrupt. And my family knows the lower I get, the more severe I get. Mm-hmm. And so they're afraid I'm going to do something radical in the room. And so
and
he
make a face for the picture.
Yes. And he takes the picture and we leave. And I realize, you know what? I was rude to this kid. He's just doing his job. We're walking back to the car before we pull around to the other part of this church campus. And I realize I got to go back in. And so I grab Roby and say, Roby, let's go in. And I know Roby's thinking, he was probably about 12. I know he's saying, oh my goodness, my dad's going back in to beat him up or something. And so we go back in. And in the goodness of God, the next guy's appointment was a friend of mine named Ron. It was one of my close friends. And so he's got to be standing there while I apologize to this kid, this 19-year-old. And I tap him on the shoulder and I say, can I talk to you for a minute? The look of terror on this 19-year-old's face makes my friend burst out laughing and just kind of walk away a little bit. And I just said, hey, Ron, you can stay. I just owe him an apology. I was a little abrupt in there. And I apologized to this young man. And Ron's dying laughing. And I apologize. And I walk away with Roby. And we get to the car. And Tori says, what'd he do to Roby in the backseat? I hear it. And he said, Dad said he was sorry. And I said to them, do you know why I said I was sorry? And it's real quiet. I said I was sorry because I didn't do what Jesus would want me to do in there. Mm. I was in a hurry, blah, blah, blah. And I just needed, because of Jesus, I needed to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Our children need to see our faith. Our children need to see the way we handle rude people. We handle mean people. Or our children also need to see how we handle difficulty. Our children need to see when my dad was dying of cancer, and my children, Tori was a senior and Roby was in ninth grade, and they're praying and praying and praying that my dad would come to Christ. And we don't really know whether he did or not. And they were convinced, and Roby wrote my dad a letter. And when my dad's in the hospital bed in the living room of his house, and he's gripping Roby's letter. So we really don't know, as Roby sent him a letter about how to come to Christ. And my children are coming away from the funeral, and no, they weren't coming away from me. I picked them up at school and early when I got the news, and we're driving and they're crying. And why didn't we know? And why didn't it happen? And they needed to see my faith then in the difficulty and then the pain. And they need to see, but my confidence is in the Lord. My confidence is in the Lord, not in answers, not in circumstances, not in results. Jesus knows. We don't know. We won't know till we get to heaven. And all these things will work together somehow. My confidence has to be in God. So often we handle difficulties so privately that our children don't see us handle the difficulties at all. And they don't know, or if they do, they hear these outbursts. So they don't know how to deal with difficulty. And so often we have sold our children this candy-coated faith that they never see the difficulties and we work out the problems and they don't really know we have problems, or they see our faith is not even working for us because we're bizarre in the way we handle things. And we never come back and say, you know, in the way I handled that last night when I got that bad news, I was 100% wrong. And I'm sorry for that. I need to help you know the way I did that was wrong. I mean, of course we know that God causes all things to work together for good. It's the reason I continually tell you the Joseph story and him just trusting and trusting and trusting. I've got to trust in God, not in results. Or, you know, after the divorce, how this was handled. You know, after the loss, how this was handled. Our children need to see our faith, and our faith is at its best not during blessings. Our faith is at its best during trials. Mm-hmm. How do we handle the trials?
Even if you mess up as parents, like you say, apologizing.
Not even if we will.
Because you will
mess
up. Yes,
here I am. My name is Bob in the great support group called Christianity. Yes.
Yeah, and we all will mess up, and even major mess ups. Why did our uncle have to get incarcerated? Or why is it that our grandma has cancer? Or, you know, even the people at church, why does this happen? Why was this person born with Down syndrome? I don't understand these big issues, and why does God make that? Why does he allow these things to happen?
And our children need to hear us say, whoa, whoa, we've gone over the boundaries here. This is now gossip. And Jesus doesn't want us to gossip. Mm-hmm. Our children need to hear that. They need to hear us process life through our faith.
So you're saying speak it out then? How much do you speak out?
I've been pretty out there with him. I wanted him to know life's not what you think. I had no problem saying we can't afford that right now. Well, how come they get to go out to whatever? Because we can't afford it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's okay. They make more money than we do, or they spend their money differently than we do. And they need to hear, why are you going over to that man's house? Well, Roby, I'm going to, or Tori, I'm going to that man's house right now. And it's a good thing for you to know, because I need you to pray for me. We've had a conflict and I need to go. Matthew 18 says I need to go talk to him about it. That's mm-hmm. my first step in this conflict. They need to see that we really believe this thing called Christianity works, and that we need to do the work of Christianity because it grows your faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith that just shows up at church and lets somebody else do all the work is dead. And it says, and especially in the NIV and ESV translation of Romans 12, that I'm to present myself as a living and holy sacrifice. In view of God's mercy, is this too much to ask? This is your spiritual act of worship. Worship is living the life, not going to church and have somebody else lead you in praise songs. And they just need to see it. My son and I were interviewed a long time ago on a television show, one of the religious television show groups. And they interviewed Roby about growing up in my home, and they asked some great questions. It was hilarious. Before we went in, Roby asked, is there anything I'm not supposed to say? And I said, nah, you can say whatever you need to say. And one of the questions they ask, is there anything you'll do differently as a dad, Roby? And he said, yeah, I think I'll try not to respond so abruptly like my dad does sometimes. And we all burst out laughing. And I said, what was meaningful? And he said, you know what was meaningful is my dad had no problem saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And that shocked me to hear that. I was expecting something different out of him for that question. And I realized that is meaningful. If I really believe this thing called Christianity, then I have to live this thing called Christianity. But I'm a broken person. Mm-hmm. And if I want to live it, then there are many times where I have to say, I'm wrong. I was sorry. Will you forgive me? Let your children see that. Let them see your faith. And then let them see your faith in your actions towards others, how you handle the people around you in a servant spirit way.
What happens, though, you occasionally hear the stories, even about pastor's kids, and I've got that stereotype that people always have on me when I say I'm a pastor's kid, that we're the rebellious type, that, okay, or even maybe you had a great upbringing and your parents gave a great example. They took you to church, but they really lived out the Christian faith. Mm. But son and daughter decided, you know what? They went to college and they totally turned. And that's just not
well, for them. A couple of things about that. I mean, one of the things we have to realize is Proverbs are principles. They're not promises. And the Proverb 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That's a principle. It's a wise principle. It's like, you know, put oil in your car and your engine will run better. Don't mm-hmm. put oil in your car and your engine won't run better.
Right.
It's a pretty profound principle. It's obvious that the maker of us and our children has the plan, then knows the plan. But our children still have options out there. The greatest teacher that ever lived was Jesus. He had a classroom of 12, and still one of those 12 was a Judas. Mm-hmm. The children have it in them. When children leave the children's homes here at Sheridan House, it's not uncommon for a child to spend 6 months after leaving us rebelling and then coming back. And just had one recently who actually left Sheridan House and about 2 years later went off to prison for a couple of years.
Wow.
And then came totally back in prison and connected all the dots he learned here at Sheridan House. And he's really doing great today. It's, you know, it's 6 or 7 years on in his life and married and doing great. And just said, you know, I knew it. I just had to choose to do it. You taught me how to do it. I had to choose to do it. So that I think we see that. We've got a pastor here in town who's one of the truly great pastors in South Florida, Tully Inchevigian. Wow. He got kicked out of Westminster Academy when he was a kid. And now he's the senior pastor of Coleridge Presbyterian Church, where Westminster Academy is. So I think that it's our job to do it. I do think sometimes, though, there are children that grow up in, quote, Christian homes where the family may be Christian out there, but they're not totally Christian at home, whatever that phrase means. Mm-hmm. And they never hear the parents admit that they were wrong, and they only hear the don'ts and they don't hear the do's and they don't see the fun. There's so much fun in being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not a faith, if it's just a religion of what you can't do, then there's no fun. Is there laughter in your home? And the
right.
Christian home ought to have the most fun laughter. And generally, it's going to be at the expense of dad because he doesn't,
by the way.
Yes, he doesn't take himself so seriously. My children need to hear me sitting on the side of the bed at night and saying, saying, hey, we're going to pray. Tori, is there anything I can pray for you? And I want to ask you as we're praying tonight, would you pray for this for me? They need to hear. It's not as easy as they think. I need your prayers because I need Jesus at the right at the center of all that I'm doing.
Pray for Daddy. Pray for Mommy too.
That's right. And pray for some specifics about us and some decisions we're having to make. We need to live out our faith. Our children need to see it rather than just hear about it at church.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries, and I'm your host, Ruthie J. We're going down the list of 30 imperatives to parenting, touching on number 25 today, letting your child see your faith. And if you want to find out more on really how to impress your faith on your child, you can search the database of programs that we've already done here on Parenting Today online at parentingtoday.org, and you'll find a bunch of those that are ready to be read and even listened to. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, that's online at shfm.org. You can find out about all the ministries that are involved here, all the resources, and even give to the ministry financially if you're blessed by this Parenting Today program. That's all online at shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for number 26 on our list of 30 imperatives to parenting here on Parenting Today.